Hey guys, welcome back to episode 21 of Calculated Chaos. Today I'm here with Ben, son of Life Davis. So Ben, could you introduce yourself quickly and we'll go from there.
Yeah, cool. So, will I look at the camera?
You can look at the camera or myself, doesn't make a difference.
I look at you.
Yeah.
So I'm Ben Davis. As you say, my nickname or my fight name is Son of Life. I live in Galway. I'm kind of mixed Irish, Jamaican, English heritage. But I grew up most of my life in Ireland. So yeah, I'm a professional MMA fighter and I teach at Shaolin MMA in Galway. I'm a head MMA coach.
Yeah. So I suppose, where are you born? Kind of where did you grow up? And
yeah, so I was born in Bristol, England. And I lived there till I was 9 years old. And then we moved to Enniskillen, Northern Ireland, County Fermanagh. So when I was 9, to get away from kind of where I lived in Bristol, was an estate called Easton, and it was very rough. So my mum wanted to get me out of there because there was a lot of drugs, gangs, and stuff. So yeah, we moved to Ireland to get away from it.
And then how many years did you spend in Enniskillen before you ended up moving down to Galway? Was it only in your adulthood you moved to Galway? Or?
Yeah, I was back and forth. So I lived in Enniskillen until I was, I would have been 21, I think. And then I moved to England. And then I was in England for a few years. And then I moved, I wanted to get out of it to cut a... Long story short, I was getting into a bit of trouble in England. I always call it my darker days, you know, from when I was young. But I moved back to Ireland to get away from England. And when I was 21, and then I moved back to Fermanagh, and I was living there for a few years. And then we had a house in Fermanagh. My mum basically was looking to sell the house and move to Galway, to the south. And so she was already in the south. She was renting a house, looking, you know, for something permanent to buy, whilst our other house we're trying to sell it. And I was living in the old house, and then eventually I came to Galway then, and I was kind of when I was already looking. I knew I wanted to fight in MMA. I'd done martial arts and did boxing and stuff previously, and I wanted to, when I came to Galway, I wanted to do MMA and fight.
And then what age did you end up getting into martial arts at?
When I was young, like, I think I always say about my story, like, fighting has always been a large part of my life. I can't remember who it was, I think it was Henzo Gracie said, like, life is a fight. We come into this life fighting for our first breath, you know, everything. If you look at like a sperm trying to get into the egg, it's a fight, you know? So like everything in life is a fight. And I always, like, as I say, I was born in Easton, a big housing estate, very multicultural. You had like Jamaicans, you had Irish, you had Somalians, Pakistani, Indian, had just a big melting pot of ethnicities. And it was, as I say, it was a ghetto. And so that, from a young age then, I learned to fight, you know, because it was like you had to have respect. Like, it was, if you didn't have any respect, everyone would walk all over you. So I was always scared. I think that's why people do martial arts, is because deep down they're scared. They might have been getting picked on somewhere, or like everybody gets bullied. It's just human nature, you know? So I was scared growing up in that environment. And my dad died when I was 6, so I didn't have that male figure over me that would protect me. It was just me and my sister and my mom. And I remember wanting to learn martial arts. I was always a big fan of like kung fu movies, Shaolin kung fu movies, you know, really old ones. And So I wanted to do martial arts. My mum took me to a karate club that must have been 7 or 8. And I liked it, but like I had learning difficulties and all at the time, and I couldn't remember the katas, you know, the forms.
Yeah.
And so I was really good at it whenever it came to the sparring kind of aspect and doing certain techniques. I was good, but I couldn't, I never got my belt. I remember trying to do my belt and I never got it because I couldn't remember the big sequences. And so that was my first martial art. And then I didn't do anything then. I did a bit of gymnastics as well, which was good for flexibility. My mom was a gymnast as well. And then when I was older, I'd say, my mom wanted to keep me away from boxing because she would have seen boxing as quite like aggressive or extreme, more extreme than like karate and stuff would be more semi-contact. And so when I moved to Northern Ireland then, again, as I say, life is a big fight, and in Northern Ireland you have all the sectarianism, and me being mixed race, even though I'm half Irish, it was kind of, I was raised atheist as well, so I think that was because of my parents would have been anti-religion, having families come from Ireland with the sectarianism problems. So I never had a side to choose. And I never had that anyone behind me. I never had like my Irish family that lived in Ireland were old, my great grandparents and things like this. So I didn't really have a big family base there. So I was kind of a lot on my own in Northern Ireland, and I got into fights. And again, I was scared. So I was looking for, an art to do martial arts. So I found a karate club in Castle Derg, it was called, a wee town, and it wasn't really for me again, you know. And then I really wanted to box, you know. I seen like Muhammad Ali videos and things like this, so that was kind of like I wanted to box. And I kept saying to my mom from I was, I'd say, about 12 or 13, I was like, Mom, I want to box. I knew there was a boxing club in the nearest like village to where I lived. And she was like, no, you're not boxing. You can do karate, you can do something else, but you're not boxing. And I was always good at sports, so I think my mum was afraid that I'd be good at it, you know, and then I'd continue doing it. And she didn't want me obviously having health problems or anything from doing it.
Of course.
And so I basically, when I was 15, I says, Mum, when I'm 16, I'm going boxing, whether you like it or not. Like, you know? And I was already getting to lots of fights and stuff, so... I think she was at that point, she was just like, yeah, like, I just, you know, want you to be happy and learn to protect yourself, basically. And so I went in, she went in with me, and yeah, like, I was good straight away at it. And when I say I was good, I mean, I was athletic, I was strong, like, and... Well, not strong. I've always been very explosive, you know, like, so like I was a very good sprinter. So I would have that fast,
twitch muscles.
Yeah. So I was kind of good in that way, even though I closed my eyes and I let it all go, like, but, so yeah, that would have been, I started boxing then, and I was on and off with the boxing. And then because as I say, I was, in other ways I was a bit lost, you know, so I would have dabbled into drugs and other things like that, and partying with my friends, and it's funny because my old boxing coach, he was actually my first proper girlfriend's dad, Sam Agnew, he's like, the man's like a dad to me, even now, like I haven't seen him for a while, but he used to always say, when I'd be out on road with all my friends and stuff and we'd be up to no good or whatever, he'd be saying, Ben, you're wasting yourself, like, you're the best boxer I ever seen, like, and I would, that would always be in the back of my mind, and that's something I'm real grateful for in my life, even though I came from bad places and I had bad experiences, you know, people like him along the way, and there's a good few of them that believed in you, you know. And like, I think if it wasn't for that, if people don't, that's what I do now with Shaolin MMA. I try and be that person who believes in everyone, you know, and I know that everybody has, you know, gifts about them. And but like, he would say, you know, like, you're wasting yourself, man, and all this stuff. And And then I did go back boxing, but I was kind of on and off. And then I moved to, basically I had, as I say, I always had problems with people because I was mixed race, and, you know, so I had racism problems, and I was quite a chip on my shoulder, and I wouldn't react in the best way. So I would end up fighting with guys and stuff like that. And then I get death threats a lot, you know, but it would always be just, that was the way people would then, oh, I kneecap you, like, you got things like this. And then when I was, as I say, about 21, I got a death threat. I got a phone call of getting threats and stuff. And then a few weeks later, one of my best mates said to me, man, did you get a threat? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, this is real, like, you know, for fighting with someone. And so I basically moved back. That was why I moved back to England. And then lived there. And as I say, I was on a downward spiral from this. And then, but when I was in England, my sister's boyfriend was an MMA fighter. He's called Shay Mills. And he basically had invited me. He knew I boxed and stuff like this, and I like martial arts. And he invited me to fighters, MMA, like fighters sparring session. And so I was like, yeah, kind of a bit of my own ego, like, yeah, go on, I'll go. Don't know any MMA, like, but I know fighting. But I thought I knew fighting. And I literally... It was actually in a house. It was like a downstairs level of a council house that they just kind of converted into a gym, like, just matted, padded walls and stuff. And we went in the house and we were sparring with another guy, Matt Ewan, an unreal man. He was a Cage Warriors world champion as well. And I was sparring with them, and, like, on my feet, obviously, because I was good. I was even good kicker and stuff, you know, so I was good on my feet. But as soon as they grabbed a hold of me,
yeah,
I'd be trying to wriggle free, and then it just, like, just exhausted me, and then pinned me on the floor, and then had me tapping out to various submissions, yeah, as you know, like,
yeah.
And that was a big, you know, opened my mind up to, like, grappling. It's like, what this, because I think the way we're taught fighting is in the West is to punch and kick, you know. And so that kind of opened my mind up to that. But as I say, I was still lost. I was, like, in a gang, you know, a little crew, as you call it back in England, you know, doing stupid stuff. And then it wasn't basically until I hit rock bottom. And then there's a saying, when you hit rock bottom, you know, you can keep digging or you can go up. Okay. So I hit, like, a crossroad in my life. And I basically... From then on, I started learning, reading, you know, and I just started, I opened up new doors. So I basically knew from that point I had to get out of Bristol and Gloucester, the two cities I was kind of living in. And so I wanted to escape. I did a job. I went into the job center and I seen... activity instructor on the computers in there, and I was like, oh, gain qualifications, meet new people, do, like, outdoor kind of stuff. And I was like, it just kind of spoke to me at that time, so I kind of was like, yeah, I'll do that. I had no qualifications, so I went for that, and it was they took on thousands of people on the Isle of Wight. It was, and there was only a so many people would get the job, so it was kind of it was cool. But the thing I struggled with was at the start was there was a load of young adults, say, and you're being taught how to teach activities, you're being taught how to sing songs and stuff like this, which I always knew I loved kids, you know. So I kind of knew I could do it with kids, but then to do it in front of you, say, or another adult. Was kind of, I felt really, and especially it was a competitive environment, because only so many people are going to get the job. So I kind of struggled with that. And but then again, I was reading a book, and then I just basically something came in, like it, I kind of learned something at that time, and basically just to let go, basically not care, you know, and just be a big child basically. And yeah, so then I basically started progressing in that job. I got the job in the end, and it was a seasonal job. So I worked there for maybe 4 months or something, and then, but I got qualifications out of it, and I knew then I wanted to do youth work. I wanted to help young people the way, like,
yeah,
as I say, people like Sam Agnew, people like my history teacher, Mr. Brennan, just different people along the line that helped me, you know. So I, yeah, so that was my first venture into youth work. And then, but I went back to Bristol and Gloucester, and I realized, like, that I had to get out of there because of the people that knew me from there for being the old Ben.
Mm.
You know, they just kind of, they realize you're back around, and then they keep trying to bring you back into that kind of life.
Of course.
So I was like, I needed to get out of here. And so I moved to Ireland. Well, my mom said to me, oh, why don't you come back? You can stay in the house in Fermanagh, like, you know, and you can mind it while, you know, it's for sale, so that people can come and view the house and things. And so I was like, yeah. And then I went back, and then, but, you know, again, I love Fermanagh. I think it's one of the most beautiful counties in Ireland, you know. You have Lochar and beautiful, like, beautiful lake and beautiful rivers, and a lot of history there. And I got a lot of friends there. But I kind of, again, I needed to escape that. I was another part of my past, you know. I needed something new. So I basically moved to Galway then. And I was already at this point, I knew I wanted to fight MMA.
Mm.
And I found an MMA club in Galway. And I basically messaged them and say, look, I want to do MMA. So I went over to them and straight away, yeah, started training MMA then. And I wanted to fight almost, I think I fought maybe a month or two after joining. Yeah. I didn't train much MMA in England either, like, and I watched a lot of videos, and I kind of learned from watching MMA mainly. And yeah, I had one semi-professional fight, and then I went straight into professional after that, because I think back then, whenever I started fighting MMA, there wasn't much, it isn't the level it was now.
Mm.
So you only had like semi-professional MMA, which was like C-class or something, and then professional MMA. And whenever I had my first fight, I fought like way above my natural weight. And because my whole career, I didn't really know much about weight cutting and nutrition and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fought, and then I just seen the level there, and I was watching the pro fights, and I just was like, I can beat these guys. And the amateur guys there, I was like, I kind of felt like with my experience in fighting, it would be like immoral of me to fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, because I just hurt people.
Mm.
So I went pro. I think it was a bit naive, and if I went back, I would have, because of my inexperience in grappling and wrestling, then I wouldn't. I was a very good striker.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I would have, I think, well, I wouldn't change anything, because my experience actually has helped me as a coach, which is the main reason why I was fighting, was, again, youth work, you know, helping young and old as well.
And what year was that when you came to Galway? What year was it when you were in Galway and you start training in that gym?
I can't remember, man. I think it was about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I think, yeah. Getting old now. Yeah,
And would you have been watching much MMA up at that point? You said you, like, you were watching, learned two videos, yeah. So were you watching like the UFC, or were you watching more kind of smaller shows, or what were you really watching?
I was watching loads, man. It was like, MMA was illegal for a while. And it was really hard. Whenever I first started watching it, like Shay Mills, who was he was in the UFC, my sister's ex-boyfriend, he used to get like DVDs, like like knocked off DVDs his mates would download them or something.
Yeah.
And of Pride Fighting Championships and UFCs and stuff like this. But I think UFC went underground for a while.
Okay.
So I think it was first UFCs I think were legal, whatever, but then I think it got banned. And then I think it went underground as far as I know. And then so I was watching just DVDs and stuff of certain fighters, and I just was like, whoa, this is like real. The first UFCs were kind of cool because they had different styles.
Yeah, it was, you know, different martial arts coming against each other. Which one's the best, you know? Yeah.
But then you started seeing the evolution of MMA as basically taking all the practicalities of the other styles, and then grappling, like that experience that I had. You know, before I even watched these UFCs, I just went in
and
fought with these cage fighters. That's all I knew. You know, and so it was like that experience, that humbling experience of just being laid on and squished until you just have no energy left, and then they just tap you out.
Yeah.
You know, I was like watching that, but watching a small guy in Hoyce Gracie back in the day doing it, and then another Gracies as well around, because in Pride FC and stuff, you had different Gracie families, because I think they kind of sent them all to fight in different places.
Okay.
To kind of spread Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. But, so yeah, I just, that was it. I loved watching.
Yeah. And then, so how many years, so you had your first professional fight. Where was that? How did that go? What was kind of the big takeaway from that?
I think of my first fight now. I kind of mix up my first and my second fights. I think my first fight was, I think it was Tribal Warfare,
yeah.
So Tribal Warfare was a promotion that my coach, Mark Leonard, used to run in Galway in the Black Box. And so, yeah, I fought, as I said, when I had my semi-pro debut, and I was like fighting bigger guys, and I was like, I watched the pro fight for an Irish title, and I was like thinking I could beat these guys. And then I said to Mark, I'm just gonna go pro, like stupid, like. But he got me a fight then against Jura Cody, a guy who fought for, it was in the Battle of Antrim. That was the name of the event in the Royal British Legion in Antrim. And Jura fought for the Irish title for that promotion. And he actually was winning, but he got cut. And so the fight was stopped. And it was funny because I was chatting to him. He was in my dressing rooms before the fight. And I kind of was like, when he got cut, and I was just kind of saying he was really down because he was winning the fight and stuff, and I was kind of talking to him saying, nah man, you did really good, like it was, you know, you were winning that, just, you know, it's just a mishap, you know. And so, but then Mark said, oh, I've got your fight now for your pro debut in Tribal Warfare, and he was like, he said, it's Jura Cody, and I was like, wow, because, you know, when you kind of make friends with someone, someone, so that was a bit awkward. But then I was just like, nah, I just have to, you know, just, it's just my skills versus his skills. That's what it matters. Like, and then, yeah, that was my debut in Galway. And it was, yeah, it was good. I won. It was a bit, again, weird because I won by knockout. And it was just, it was just not nice. I kind of got like a feeling of, you know, the fight's over. And then but it was like,
He wasn't elation. It was more like, oh no, I've hurt him. Like, is he okay? Yeah.
But he's mad because he's Kilkenny man. And straight away, like after the fight, he went to hospital, came back, and then went out drinking. Bit stupid, but, but yeah, that's what Jura did. Went out drinking with all of us.
Yeah. Typical Irish mentality, isn't it? And I like the way you put it, because I know you were saying you would have classed them back then as cage fighters.
Yeah.
But then I like the way you said there for your pro fight, it was your skills versus his skills.
Yeah.
And I still think that's a very common misconception with people, is that they believe it is just cage fighting. You know, it's just barbaric, yeah. You know. And I think, like you said, in the west of Ireland, you refer to it as, if you're not doing boxing mainly or kickboxing, you're like, oh, what's that crap? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think once you start delving into that world, whether it's just watching lots of MMA or grappling tournaments, or you actually start training yourself, you start realizing, oh, this isn't just barbaric. Yeah. This is a lot of technique. There's a lot more going on that you just don't understand. Do you know what I mean? And I think it is, because I obviously, our connection is that I started in Shaolin about 2.5 years ago. And it was probably one of the best decisions I ever made, because I suppose the whole wave of Conor McGregor came in. And I think, did you see a lot of growth in the gym around that time, kind of that whole era?
Like, it was weird, because people always say this, but I think MMA was growing anyway.
Okay.
But, like, it did have a massive effect. But the thing is, like, what you're saying, it's your skill versus my skill.
Yeah.
You know, I think people that this is the thing that frustrates me most about Conor, you know. Like, I've met Conor, he fought on the same shows a good few times, but he's an unreal martial artist. But people that think badly about MMA, he gives them a reason. He makes it barbaric.
Yeah.
Makes it, you know, like, scummish. You know, But at the same time, martial arts is that. Martial arts is and it isn't that.
Mm.
It's yin and yang. So I'm not, you know, I think it's a necessary evil. You get me? Like, because it's always been that. Like, a bully is basically, you know, like this. And then martial arts really was developed to counteract that aggressive energy.
Mm.
And that's why in Kung Fu they do this and stuff, because that's the hard chi. And then that's the soft chi, the water, fire, water.
Okay.
You know, and that is your emotions, you know?
Yeah.
And Conor uses, and a lot of other fighters before him, use that to get inside people, to affect them.
Yeah.
You know? And, but the thing that annoys me is, and this is why I think it's on us fighters to be positive and show, you know, that martial arts isn't just that.
Mm-hmm.
Martial arts is beautiful, as you say. It's your skill versus my skill.
Mm.
As long as I don't allow that negativity to affect me, you know, and that's why the inner martial arts is important.
Mm.
The philosophical side of it, you know, because that is the foundation of what created martial arts.
Yeah.
As I say, when I was young, I was scared.
Of course.
You know? And that was the law of the streets. That's what Conor has learned. The law of the streets is respect, you know. I did a talk there with kids, some more teenagers, and that is what I'm trying to, because I can see they're like me, and that's why I did start doing this in the first place, is like, you know, they need to understand this, that being is not strong, it's actually being weak. You know, it's succumbing,
it's insecurity.
Yeah. And but yeah, this is what I want to see in martial arts now. And that's what Shaolin is for me. It's positivity. It's like, whenever our fighters are nervous going into competition, you know, I say, like, nothing else matters. All that matters is you, what you know, you know. And if you let all the outside stimuli affect you, those energies, you know, be it the crowd, be it social media, you know, people caring what other people think, these kind of things. If you let that affect you, then, you know, you're not going to be able to call upon the knowledge that's within inside you. And that's all that matters, really. If you lose to someone that has more knowledge than you, or has just a bit of knowledge that you didn't, a technique that you didn't know the defense to, or something, then that's okay. That's what, okay, I know that now. I'm going to go back and ask my coach, what did he just do to me then?
Yeah.
You know, which is fine.
Yeah.
But when you lose to someone that's like, and you're like, what did I do? And then he just goes, ping, or just does something simple that you know the defense to.
Yeah.
But you just, you know, but that is a learning thing as well. That's why, It's, I say, like, our slogan for Shaolin is master movement, master yourself, master your life. Mm. And like, when you're training, when you leave, say if you have exams or something, you're in college and stuff, and you have all this stress, you've got like assignments due, and you know, like, but it's good to train, even if you have other stuff, because when you go into training, it gives you, you, it gives you a break from all of that. Just like these kids that come from Bali Ban or wherever, West Side, and they come in to Shaolin and they've got all issues in their own house, you know, or their state. But when they come in, there is this positive environment where everybody's all friendly and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're just completely in the present. You're doing some movement where you disengage from everything else. Like, it's normally future and past things that you're thinking about, possibilities or things that happened before.
Yeah.
But when you go in there, it brings you into the present. You're in good, you're around good people, good energy. You got the Bob Marley music playing. You know? And so, yeah, like, that's the master movement side. And then master yourself comes with competition and with, as I say, life is a fight. Doesn't have to be if you compete, but I really encourage people. I don't know if I encouraged you, I probably did, but I remember actually seeing when you first competed and there was nobody up. It was up in Ryoshan and nobody was there.
No.
Or maybe they were there the first day, but it was 2 days. Before,
yeah, that was the second day. So
nobody knew that anyone was in the next day and you had just gone up on your own. And I remember you came out and you won a medal or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, wicked, like, I never knew there was, it was on tomorrow. And it was like, like, things like that. But you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation and tested yourself, you know, and like, that's what made me happy. You know, I don't, as I say, life is a fight, and whether you want to be a MMA UFC champion, ONE FC champion, or IBJJF world champion in jiu-jitsu or whatever, an EBI champion, like, that's great, you know, but just seeing people test themselves, because I know for a fact that it does something for people wherever, like, their calling is, you know, that it's going to help them.
Yeah.
You know, it's, they're going to be like, like another negative thing that happened with the gym going on fire. And I was just standing there, and I was just, obviously, it was just like everything that I built was just burning. And I was just, I was scared. I was, didn't know, like, what, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, I had to deal with insurance investigators from two different insurance companies, because the somebody was claiming off of the insurance. And it was just, I was dealing with fire investigation, just all this official stuff. And then since then, we've just had loads of tests, you know, very testing things with all the official things in the world, which I'm not very good at. I'm just, boom, here's Ben.
Yeah, my energy,
that's it. And so this was a fight, you know? And it's like, it's making you feel like you're doing something wrong when you're not. All you do is try and help people, you know? And so that was like that anxious kind of feeling that you get before a fight, before going into an interview, before going into a test, you know? And I was just like, I do a breathing technique where it's an ancient thing, it's Om. So if you see in like science, the symbol for resonance, Om is the Western symbol, like this. You might see on a lot of my posts, I put the Eastern version, the Hindu Sanskrit.
Okay.
And it's for sound and resonance. But Om is basically, you go Om, you make that noise. And basically I use this, and I tell our fighters to do this, to basically, when they feel nervous and anxious, to slow their heart rate down, because your heart rate's going to start, you know, raising, and you might have heart palpitations. And when you fight, then that's going to affect you negatively, cause you to have an adrenaline dump and cause you to freeze, and then again you can't access that information. So like, basically that's what I did, the thing I like, kind of routines I would do before I go into competition. I did then to deal with that situation. And this is, like, as I say, fighting is learning about yourself, your master movement, you're disconnecting from all this reality that is not really our own reality, maybe not our calling, but we have to do it.
Yeah.
Because we're conditioned to think that we have to do that.
Yeah.
So people are, like, whether you come from middle class, lower class, whatever, you all have your own issues, and when you come in, you're being in the present, getting rid of that. But then the fighting is the mastering of you. It's you learning about yourself.
Yeah.
And that can help you out there, like, you know, when you're in that adventure.
Mm.
You know? So.
No, absolutely. And, like, I understood that from day one when I walked into the gym.
Yeah.
One, the environment, like you said, you created. I don't know, obviously I have no experience of many other martial arts gyms, but I know everyone talks about the Shaolin is one of the best, isn't, like, the kind of your core morals, you've done a great job. And it is, like, to say that even from a business structure, it's always the management that creates how people feel in the gym. I think your morals, you've done a great job of doing that. And also you're touching on, you know, whatever baggage you have outside, exams, stress, you know, money, doesn't matter. When you walk in there, if someone's on top of you trying to strangle you, you can't be concerned about your ability. You're forced, and no matter what martial art you're doing in the gym, is you have to be present or you're gone already. You know what I mean? And I've found that everyone you talk to in there, it's the same thing. You know, they absolutely love the environment in there, and they love just walking away from reality, as you said, their reality to an extent. So can you talk a little bit about the process of setting up Shaolin? So when did you decide that you're like, okay, I want to set up my own gym, I want to, you know, create this family, I suppose?
Well, like, as I say, I wanted to, for me, fighting, like, I came, my first slogan that kind of came to me when I decided, boom, you've got to fight, was you've got to fight to have a voice.
Yeah.
You know, people have always respected fighters, you know, and I was big into rap music and just music in general. When I was young, it was rap music. When I was gay, I was in my negative kind of state. So back then, I wanted to be a gangster rapper. So I was doing all the negative stuff to be a gangster, like, which is silly. But so I always loved music. But I grew up listening to reggae music.
Mm.
My dad was Rasta, Jamaican, you know, and my mom as well used to sing, and she used to DJ as well, and so I kind of grew up around music, and, like, a good network in Bristol. Bristol's a very, as I say, is a cultural thing, a very culturally diverse place. So I had that, my foundation was good, but then my era, that's when the gangster rap kind of generation came.
Mm.
And so now I'm kind of more into my rap. But with fighting, was, as I say, my first slogan was some things that we're fighting for. I had to fight for a voice. So I wanted to go back to music, because music is another way of helping people,
mm-hmm.
you know? And again, just like you know, music has that effect on people, you know, where the same yin and yang, you have your gangster rap, early Ben, lost Ben, and then you have conscious reggae, which is more soft, you know, and more it settles you. That's why whenever you come into Shaolin, I don't just play reggae, but I tend to play now more stuff that it just has a softer resonance more to people, and it eases people. Whereas, you know, if you listen to, like, rap music or metal music and these things, it kind of causes it's good for, like, getting in that kind of, you know. But like, I actually, even when I was teaching my kids classes, I used to have some really hyper classes when I first hyper kids when I first started up my Galway classes. And I did a test one day, like, because they would just be always like chaos, you know, and I just literally 10 minutes before they came in, I started playing, like, Bob Marley music, and basically they were just way calmer straight away. Like,
wow.
And it was just, so that was like, this is good. Like,
as an effect,
But that was how, like, that's my first slogan, as I say, some things that we're fighting for. And it kind of, my knowledge and, like, my purpose has changed, and I'm sure it's going to change again, you know, like with more understanding of who I am, you know? So it's, as I say now, like what I said to you, my skill versus his skill.
Yeah.
These kind of things, of things I've learned along the way, you know? And I just, again, I'm just passing it on. I fight. Me fighting is, like Shaolin was born. That was your question. Sorry, I've gone off. But about Shaolin, how did I think of it? So I always knew I wanted to teach people. That was, so I started fighting, was to get respect, so I would inspire more people, get to engage with more people. And yeah, like I wanted to teach them martial arts, but I never thought of actually a gym, I'd say, until for me, a building wasn't even necessarily back then. It was just like, oh, just do martial arts out in the field.
Yeah.
I think there's a few videos of me on YouTube just in my mom's field, like hanging some tires up against a tree. And, you know, I used to teach my friends and all just there, like, you know. And so that was, but then like I kind of thought about the gym idea, I'd say maybe 8 years ago, like I'd say a couple of years after starting fighting.
Wow. And how has that been for you, kind of seeing the growth of Shaolin? Because, you know, it's gone from probably only a couple members to now being a flourishing gym. You're starting to see belts coming in, medals coming in, you know. Yeah. People find that as a, it is a, it's a temple, you know what I mean? Like, that's why it's all referred to as the temple.
Yeah.
And then now getting national recognition, you know, Gamma came in saying, I think they've won, Shaolin's won awards for being some of the best gym in the country.
Yeah.
How has that been for you, kind of seeing that from...
Yeah, it's like I see this. You've probably heard of like visualization, and like manifesting your dreams.
I believe it as well. Yeah,
and like that is, that's true. Like, you know, whenever like people talk of like God or whatever, everybody, we are all creators, you know, and we all have that creative side inside of us. And I think like the, I think people are waking up to it more now. We were kind of like lost to it, and that was what that is what Shaolin is. I never understood. I seen these kind of like a vision of what I could do, you know, and what I was probably like I was born to do. It felt to me like, as I say, when I hit rock bottom, you know, I seen all this stuff of my past to do with looking back at my whole past, and then I see myself at that crossroad, and then I, you know, I seen the people that positively affected me, you know, and the negatively, the things that negatively affected me also made me what I needed to be, that taught me about life as a fight. And yeah, and since then I've been manifesting all of this, so I kind of see, I see way far ahead. I won't even go into too much detail of what I see for the future, but it's, I seen it back then, I just didn't know how to get there. Do you get me? So now when you see things happening, you know, it's like, and a lot of people, I remember whenever I first started saying I'm gonna go and I'm gonna fight in MMA and all this stuff, and a lot of people that knew me from Fermanagh or England were like, like you're a fighter or whatever, but they didn't really believe that I would do it. And they seen, you know, along the line, even my own family, my parents and stuff were like, you know, but now I know when I say something that they believe I'm gonna do it, like, you know. And that's what, that belief I wanna pass on to other people. That's what it's mainly about.
Yeah.
You know, and that's whenever I, what do I foresee in the future for Shaolin? I see all of you doing amazing, like being way bigger than even just Galway, you know, or just Ireland, you know. I see, and it's not, I don't see it in a too distant future either, you know. It's, I see big things anyway.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant, and like what you've built so far has been fantastic, and the environment you've created. And have you any, because it's been a while since you fought now, is there any, have you any fights coming up? Are you trying to get a fight?
So I'm trying to get a fight in Cage Warriors. Yo, March. London, is it? Graham Boylan? Hit me up.
Come on. Yeah.
So I want to fight for them. I'll fight anyone. And then I want to fight the world champion, the guy who just, can't remember, he beat the Welsh brother. But I'm watching you guys. I want that test, your skill versus my skill.
There you go.
Bantam weights, watch out.
Yeah. Well, there's no question about that. And then is there anything else going on in the gym that you kind of want to maybe publicize or kind of...
So yeah, we don't have a gym at the moment. We're kind of, we're teaching classes in three different locations.
Yeah.
Three absolute gentlemen are helping us out. Aaron Burke from Absolute Fitness and Sean Power in Power Fitness, and then Dave Joyce, legend of a man in Dave Joyce martial arts, you know. And so we're teaching in all those places at the moment, and hopefully in February that we'll have our own gym.
Yeah.
And so we just have to get through all of the business side of things, the stuff I'm not really good at. Praise be to my wife, Indra Davis, because she's just like, she's got her own full-time job and we've got kids, and she's just like, she's just a powerhouse when it comes to organizing.
Mm.
I am like all over the place, you know? I'm like, I run on, is it divine intervention?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be somewhere. Yeah, I'm supposed to be here. Like, you know, like, it'll be okay. We'll just, you know.
Yeah.
Universally fall into place.
We all have our strengths, I suppose. Yeah. Well, I probably talk about so much more, but I don't want to keep you up too much longer. Yeah. But thank you very much for coming on. Really, really appreciate it. I'm glad we finally got to sit down and have a proper chat. Yeah. And I hope everyone else enjoyed it that was listening. If you did enjoy it, give it a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. I'll leave Ben's Instagram down below. And yeah, sure, we'll see you next week. Good night, Liv.